I'm Jessie Rustano. It's October 17, 2015, and I will be interviewing Trevor Thomas, who is the owner of Mystery Lovers Bookstore in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. This interview will help us understand the role a private bookstore plays in today's society. So, what made you first decide to open a bookstore?
It was a serendipitous event as my girlfriend and I were moving back from Cleveland. And we wanted to move back to Oakmont to be closer to family, and she grew up here, so the bookstore was for sale at the same time. And we figured it would be a fantastic way to keep the store here in Oakmont, where she grew up, and have something to grow old with.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, and then how did you choose the location of your store?
The location has already been here for... It will be 25 years in the same place this Halloween. So in, what is that, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly 2 weeks. Oh, that's getting scary. A lot of stuff to plan for.
So are you doing anything special for that event?
Oh, yeah, lots and lots. The whole week coming up to it, all month long we've been really busy because it's Halloween and everything too, but the week leading up to it, we have 3 different events. The Halton Bridge is opening, so that's a separate event as well. And we have a big 31st, on the 31st, we have the 25th anniversary, so the original owners will come in, celebrate. It's like from 11 to 5, the whole day is going to be packed with stuff. So at 11, we have a book signing and an author event. And then like at 1, Richard and Mary Alice, the original owners, will come in, and they'll like, speak with everyone, and it'll be, you know, drinks and food and stuff. And then at 3, we're going to have our world-famous 10-cent book sale, where all year long, publishers send us what are called ARCs. Mm-hmm. You know about those?
No, I don't know what those are.
So they're what's called advanced reader copies, or uncorrected proofs. We're not allowed to sell these, but we sell them for 10 cents and then make a donation to a charity.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you'll see on them and it says not for sale, so they still oftentimes will send you uncorrected ones so you can find all kinds of, you know, grammatical mistakes and things like this, or it's really cool for, you know, books that become really popular if you have an uncorrected proof and there might be a different edit, like, you know, a storyline doesn't exist in the one that the public buys, so they can be collector's items.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, that is. All right, and then what is it like to be the third owner of this bookstore?
The weight of the world is upon my shoulders. No, it's great. It is. It's the previous owners have been really, really helpful, and they set a great precedent. And so we just kind of have to keep it going. The clientele is really, I mean, our customers are really loyal, and they know what they want. They're super knowledgeable. And we have the same staff. We have a built-in staff that came with the store, and they know so much because they've all been doing it for, you know, well over a decade, all of them. So all in the same store. So it's been really nice, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to make a wrong turn or put your foot in your mouth because this is kind of an institution as far as Pittsburgh bookstores go anyway. So,
Okay. And then what makes your bookstore unique from other big corporate-owned bookstores?
Oh, many, many things. Customer service is the biggest one. We're smaller. We can tailor stuff to a certain niche. Ours is mystery, so we tailor our customer service to mystery people. And also, just like, you know, customers will often come in here with questions of, oh, I read a book in a review in the Washington Post 3 years ago, had the name Marietta in the title. And I go over to the computer and I work with them to figure out the title, and that doesn't happen. And Barnes & Noble isn't going to do that for you. You know, and Amazon can't do that for you.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. You know, we do all kinds of different payment methods to, like, you can just call us and say, hey, I want the first three books in this series, and we'll go, okay, John. We just do it for them and order it and have it in, and we ring them out without any kind of information. You can't do that at a box store. It's being able to be nimble and helpful more than anything else.
All right. And then what is the role of your bookstore in Oakmont society?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. It's one of the longer businesses here, so, excuse me, on the boulevard anyway. So, it's been here for a long time. A lot of the time we get, lots and lots of Oakmont customers just will come in, you know, who live here, and they'll just kind of peruse, and we know them by name, we make them coffee, you know. I know the guys at the deli next door, all the businesses and the people of Oakmont, since it is such kind of like a little pocket community, a bubble community. It's really nice, you know, you wave to your neighbor kind of thing every morning whenever you come in to open up the shop. So that's been really good. And we work with all the other businesses too. Like there's a Chamber of Commerce a few doors down that is fantastic. And so we're all on like a big email list, and we all talk to each other about the events we're planning. And, you know, I have a bunch of events coming up right now. So the Greek Orthodox Church just had a, Greek Social Hall, I should say, just had an Oktoberfest. And they had a whole bunch of beer left over. And since we're community people, they were like, sure, we will cut you a deal for half off since you have events coming up. So it's kind of that, you know, it's easy to interact with your neighbors around here.
That's good. And then do a lot of people come to your store from, like, outside of Oakmont?
Yeah. And they do for a few reasons. The biggest one being is because we are a niche bookshop. So people who want mysteries come here. I would say just about every weekend we have people in from out of town just specifically to come here. We had a couple from Erie last weekend, traveled the whole way from Erie, come here and spend the afternoon at our shop and the other places in Oakmont too, because you can come here and then, you know, go to the deli or go to the bakery or whatever. And so we get a lot of that, and people come in with their lists, you know, because we have, you know, the entire series of something, or maybe we're only missing two and you can just order that right here. You can't do that at too many other places. So we get a lot of people who travel to be here. Or they'll be, like, in town visiting a friend, and they know about us, so they'll make, like, a pit
like
stop.
A stop.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Then how do you compete compared to, like, large companies like Barnes & Noble, who offer, like, large discounts and, like, overnight deliveries and things like that?
We do the same, pretty much the same delivery as they do. It takes us a little bit longer since we get it in. But most customers who are avid readers, they don't care if it's there the next day. It's a book. It takes you two, three weeks to read anyway. You know, one day is not a... It's not a specialty tool that you need to fix your broken water line. You know, it's a book. And most readers already have a stockpile. So that, I think that that's a little bit of a fallacy as far as, you know, what everyone hears about the customers. Like, oh, but you can get it overnight. And it's like, well, that's relevant for certain things. Books are not so much.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I wonder, read the question to me again.
All right. Do you think that large companies like Barnes & Noble and Amazon, who offer large discounts and overnight delivery, are more competitive?
Discounts are, like, I'll work with customers and stuff like that, too, especially. And we don't charge for shipping over $25. And most people, everything they buy that gets shipped here is right around $20 to $25. So we just give them free shipping anyway. So that doesn't really, you know, make too much of a difference for us. The thing about, like, Amazon is, like, you, if you know what you're looking for, it's great. because mm-hmm. you can just be like, oh, I need this exact thing, boom. But a lot of the time, people go into bookshops to peruse. They don't know what they're looking for until mm-hmm. they pick one off the shelf, and that happens to people all the time. Or they'll ask us for our opinion. Like, you can't ask Amazon for their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, do you think society is changing because less people are buying, like, hard copies of books and would rather, like, have it on, like, a tablet or screen, like, a yeah. Kindle?
Yeah, I think it is. It's changing, for sure. I think a lot of people are buying those, and they're using them a lot of the time for good reasons. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to have an e-reader. I'm not one of those Luddites who can't handle change. It's just mm-hmm. I feel like everything can exist in its own space, you know. Just because mm-hmm. elevators were invented didn't mean stairs stopped existing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's a little bit like that for me. But, and they have great uses. Like, older readers love them because they're not so heavy, and you can make the print larger,
mm-hmm.
which is great, and brighter, and you can take them on vacation, things like that. Easier to put in your bag, you have like mm-hmm. 10 different books and things like that. But as far as the avid reader, most people, they want paper.
Okay.
They want the actual book for so many reasons, because first of all, they look good on your mantle. I don't mind saying that. That's just they do. And, you know, you can pull one off. You can dog your pages. You can be like, oh, here's that one poem by Bukowski that I really like, and I know it's on page 546. You don't have mm-hmm. to fiddle with your Kindle, go through a bunch of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, it's actually more convenient whenever you think about it, as far as that goes. You also can't get, you know, an e-reader signed by an author whose event that you go to.
That's true.
So that's a big part of it for a lot of avid readers, you know?
Mm-hmm. What is the most important role of your bookstore?
Oh. Serving the customer is the you know, base answer, because that's what you always want to do. But honestly, it really is like tailoring what we do to the needs of the customer. We have, for instance, there's like a retirement community up there called Longwood. It's a big community. We have a lot of customers from there. But oftentimes they can't get down here mm-hmm. to peruse the whatever, and they'll know, they'll have bought from us a bunch before, so we put like lists together. People will call and say, good example would be the piece of paper that I don't have lying around right now. But people will call and say, you know, hey, it's Kathleen Burke or whatever, I have $100 to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know the authors that I like. Pick out $100 worth of books for me, and we do that. And mm-hmm. I'll take them up to the retirement community in my car. You know, like, no other place is going to do that other than mm-hmm. an independent, small business, you know. And that's how you compete, to be honest with you.
So you just do, like, more, like, specialty stuff?
Yeah, personal. We personalize our business model to the customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is how you do it.
And then, what is it like to own a specialty bookstore?
It can be tough. It's fun because it's fun and limiting. Man, this is a tough question. There aren't too many specialty bookstores out there, really. You know, there's comic book shops. That's about it. Maybe mm-hmm. kids' bookstores. There's a few of those, you know. But we're mainly mystery, but we have a bunch of other stuff, too. It's also the size of your shop, too, that mm-hmm. matters. Our shop is not that big, so it kind of does already genre-fy us. We can either carry, like, a very small amount of everything
mm-hmm.
or a very large amount of something, which is what the original owners decided to do. And they did a lot of research on it, and it still holds true today, that mystery is the second highest selling genre out of any literature,
mm-hmm.
by far. And the only thing that beats mystery is way, way up here, and everything else is way down here. The only thing that beats mystery is romance, which beats everything else combined, which is hilarious, you know, because yeah. people love their romance novels. So it's not that crazy of a niche to be in. If you're going to pick one, mystery's not that bad of a one. Mm-hmm. Also because books come in series. Yeah. So you'll have like 14, 15 books by an author and people want to read them in a series. So it can make it a little bit tough sometimes to keep up with all the new releases that stack on top of each other. So that's a little bit tough, but it kind of does, you know, you always know what publishers you're looking for. You always know what imprints of those publishers, you know. Like, I can look on the spine of things and be like, oh, that imprint does mostly this style of mystery. Because mystery is subdivided into all different kinds of mysteries. There's Scandinavian, there's police procedural, there's cozies, there's hard-boiled, there's, you know, a million different subdivided ones. So whenever someone says they're into mystery, that, you know, that's like saying, you know, I'm into movies.
Yeah. Okay. And then, what was it hard to transfer into owning a small business?
I would say yes, yeah. I wouldn't fool anyone and say, you know, no, it was really the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. No, I grew a bunch of gray hairs for about 3 months. And, you know, we also had a lot of other stuff on our plate as well. At that time, we had a 3.5-year-old son and a newborn. We had moved from one city to another, got a new house, started a new job, opened this business, and I managed this place. So it was a lot at once.
Yeah.
Depends how much you have on your plate. If you can take your time and you're starting one from scratch, it's not so hard, you know, and we did all of the business paperwork and everything ourselves. We didn't get a lawyer. So we did all the LLC filings and the tax filings through the government and everything. And that is a lot of paperwork. And if you miss one thing, then you have to get that form back and redo, you know, a 13-page thing and get another form to complete that form to fill out, and then they'll give you another form for that. It really is, it's like the Legend of Zelda, like, with the keys, and you go and you get this pot of gold to open up another. It's very confusing, but, you know, there's websites that'll help you out, like .gov sites tell you pretty much what to do. If you can follow directions, they're there for you. But a lot of people just say, you know, throw money at the lawyer and say, hey, do this paperwork for me, you know, and we didn't do that. So it's a little bit harder on us, but it was good because it was a learning process. You know, there was already an LLC established for this shop. So you have your business and then you have an LLC, right? You have to have both, because if someone slips and falls in here, I don't want them to take all of my money, right? So that's why you do it. And we could have bought the LLC from the original owners, which is what our previous owner did, but we said, well, we'd like to start fresh. Would have made it a lot easier if you're taking over a business just to buy the pre-existing LLC, but if you don't, that's where starting your own business really comes in. So we really did technically... The shop was already here, brick and mortar, but we started our own business. So, yeah, that made it a little bit more rough.
So did you decide to, like, do a separate LLC to, like, just so, like, it would be, different for you?
Yeah, exactly. It would be different for us, and then we could, it made more sense in the long run to do it like that, because it's a lot less confusing, you know, because the old LLC was just the previous owner's two names. So their two names were coming to us, and it made no sense going forward trying to open up new accounts and things like this. So, and that was the other thing too, the old LLC, all of the publishers for these books, right, they require you to open up accounts with them, obviously. And you need to give them a lot of information that has to do with your LLC. So whenever we changed LLCs, we had to open up new accounts. We had to close all of the old accounts with all the old publishers and open all new ones. And it's not three or four. And it's not a small amount of time. It's stacks and stacks of paperwork that you have to fax to them. And they all want different information. And there's, you know, as many as you want to do. I still have them to do. And this is from May. I'm still changing over publishers and mm-hmm. stuff whenever I need books here and there. So that was a big part of it, that, you know, you don't count on that. And mm-hmm. they're like, oh, yeah, you could. Why would you think that you could use the sold LLC? And you're like, uh-oh. Learning process, you know?
Yes. And then, are independent bookstores becoming more obsolete?
I would say that they're becoming more relevant now, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Well, I would say more relevant than in the last 5-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, what happened was, so it's all going through a cycle now. I pay attention to this, obviously, because I own a small bookstore. But what happened was, with the growth of the big box stores, they put a lot of small ones out of business. A lot of small mm-hmm. general interest bookstores, they put a lot of those guys out of business. A lot of the comic book shops stayed. The genre bookshops like mine stayed. Used bookshops, they all stayed. But the general interest small indie bookshop, those big box stores really killed them off. You know, because mm-hmm. you can walk in and they just have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it killed a lot of those off. And then Amazon came and killed off all the big box stores. Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now there aren't big box stores to go to talk to a, you know, a bookseller or,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at stuff on the shelf. That, you know, they killed a lot of those big ones off. So the business from those big box stores has now come back and rotated back to us.
That's so good, though.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened to the big box stores. So we're kind of all laughing at them secretly, which is nice. There's, I think, 11 independent bookstores in the Pittsburgh area.
Okay.
Yep, from downtown, like, stretching out as far as Dormont and Sewickley.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot. You know, that's not a small amount. Hey there.
So how did the bookstore get its name?
The original owners named it. I'm sure this was the first name, I'm sure, right?
Yep.
Mystery Lovers Bookshop, yep. Right? Yep. It never went through any other kind of redesign. I don't even think the logo has ever changed,
nope.
Right?
Nope.
Yeah, it's still the original logo, like the iconography or whatever, the mm-hmm. cat.
Yeah.
Still the same. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, iconic.
Yeah, it is.
We just got a cool stamp made that we stamp all the bags with, like, you know, the cat.
Let's see. So do you personally like reading hard copies of books than on a tablet screen then?
Oh, yeah. I don't
you don't own one tablet?
No, I don't even own one. It's, for me, I like the feel of, like, a trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a trade paperback is?
No.
Yeah.
This is a trade paperback, as opposed to this, which is a mass market.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because these have come in the last few years. Yeah. These have become much more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a whole section for these books, mm-hmm. and now we have a whole section for these.
Yeah.
And I think people feel comfortable with the size in their mm-hmm. hands, and so that's been a real change in the.
Like I pick books out for their actual size and thickness. I'm not kidding. Like I have certain ones that have a hand feel that I like, and the covers oftentimes now like have a different sheen. They're just a lot mm-hmm. better quality.
Right.
And it's my opinion that that's because of ebooks. I think because people, you know. They're going to say, well, if I can get a, you know, $4 version on my Kindle, why would I spend $17 on a book? Well, that means that the quality of the book's got to be better for you to justify spending that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them now are bound really well. They have, like, ragged edges. And they have book flaps on, like, trade paperbacks now,
mm-hmm.
which is cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't exist like five, six years ago, probably.
Yeah. I'd say in the last 10 years, it's really changed.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Okay, and then if you could add or change one thing about your bookstore, what would it be?
Make it bigger. A little more room would be nice, honestly. Mm-hmm. That, for me, that would be the thing, because there isn't any more room, and we carry as much as we can. but we shuffle a lot of things around because we have a lot of events here. Mm-hmm. So everything needs to be modular, where we pick these tables. They don't look very heavy, but these tables are really heavy. So mm-hmm. we have to move all these things around for the events that we have. And it would be nice just to have, like, a bigger place where you could just be like, okay, and the event always goes right here, and we don't have to move too much to do it. So mm-hmm. for us, it's, like, limited space. But, you know, it's kind of nice as well because it does simplify things. Mm-hmm. You don't have to carry as much stock, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then my last question is, are you glad that you decided to move back to Pittsburgh and take over this bookshop?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Previously I was living in Cleveland as a machinist. Mm-hmm. So this is a much, much more enjoyable place in life for me. Mm-hmm. Now, we moved back as well, excuse me, to be closer to family. Mm-hmm. Now, after we had the second little boy, it was kind of imperative that we get back to family. And it just kind of worked out that this was up for sale. Natalie has roots in this town. Where we moved is right, literally, there's an alley here. She grew up right here, and we moved into a house right here. So our backyards, like, face each other.
Uh-huh.
And then that's on 10th Street, which is right there. Mm-hmm. Daycare is right here. So it's
very convenient.
Extremely convenient, as opposed to Cleveland, which was unbelievably inconvenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's been quite nice. The hours have gotten longer and I'm a lot busier,
mm-hmm.
but it's good because I'm like, Natalie and I always say that we're the most type A, type B personalities that you'll ever meet because we're pretty low key, but we always like to stay nice and busy. You know, mm-hmm. I was here till 8:15 last night. I opened the shop at 9,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, working away, scrubbing the floors, mopping, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it keeps you busy. But then the thing is, you know, walk right up the hill and go home. Go. So,
yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for letting me interview you today about the bookstore.
Absolutely, it was a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.